On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Welcome to another edition of the Unforced Errors podcast. We're talking beer and we're talking hockey because it's March in Canada. A good Monday morning to you. March break just wrapping up, so many of you are beginning a break of your own, even if you're headed back to work, as you send your kids back to school. Many of you would have just been returning from holiday, maybe you just had your kids home for the week. I can remember as a child, March break was usually something that I'm pretty sure my parents didn't look forward to, as having usually four kids running around, I'm sure wasn't much of a vacation for them. I spent most of March break away. From the TCA studios, we managed to get a couple of shows put out for you. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, Audio Whiplash 63, in my opinion, one of the better shows we've done in a while. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out yet, you might want to do so. We talked, about a lot of things, including waxed giraffe teats. If you want to know how we got there, you're probably going to have to check out the show. One of the other things we discussed on the episode was this controversy, if you want to call it that, surrounding, I guess, Disney introducing gay characters to some of their movies. This isn't a cartoon. It's not necessarily something aimed directly at children. But as people tend to do, you know, there's been complaints. So we had a good conversation on that. And if you haven't had a chance to check out Audio Whiplash 63 yet, you can do that at tallcanaudio.com or by searching the archives on your favorite podcast application. While I was away, I spent some time with my old man. Well, both my parents, really. But my old man and I decided to take the opportunity to try out some different beers. Mainly craft brewers from around Ontario. We tried some other things, too. But we've tried a bunch of different things, and before I get into a couple of recommendations, I want to tell you about this app that we've been using, and I've got a couple of friends on it, and I've got him onto it now, and it's called Untappd, although for some reason there's no E in it. Untappd. Available on Android and iOS, so if you're a beer connoisseur, it might be worth your time to check out. I'm really enjoying it. I downloaded it about a year ago. And to be honest with you, I didn't have a lot of time for it then, but I didn't know anyone else using it. And that's kind of a big part of it, is it's kind of social media for beer. And if you don't have any friends using the application as well, then it's basically you just writing down your beers, and it's kind of a waste of time. It's not completely useless that way, but it's really not the idea. And so I'm going to get into it just a little bit here, because I thought it was kind of cool. And we end up talking a lot of sports on this show, more than anything else, but it's not specifically a sports show, and so now and then when I find something cool, I like to be able to share that with you a little bit. So like I said, it's called Untappd, without an E, and it's kind of like Facebook for beer. So what happens is, you open the app when you try a different beer, and so when you first start, you pick up new beers quick, right? Because the stuff that you drink all the time, you get to enter as a new beer, and it keeps track of how many unique beers you've tried, Like, if you are someone who sits there and let's say Guinness is your favorite beer, you wouldn't check into this app every single time you had a Guinness. You could if you want, but it gets time consuming and it's really just kind of sad. But when you try something new, you can go in and a couple of things happen. You can either search for the beer you're drinking, or I noticed yesterday, you can scan a barcode. So it doesn't work if you're drinking on tap, obviously, but if you have a can, you can scan the barcode and it will go through and search for the product, which really speeds things up, obviously. You then check into the beer like you would check into a place on Facebook. So once you check into a beer, a couple of things happen. A screen comes up and it wants you to rate it. A, for your friends, and B, for your own reference later on down the road. So it gives you a space to give it a star rating out of 5. And it goes down to the quarter point. So you can go 3.25, you can go 5, you can go 4 out of 5, whatever you want to do, down to the 0.25 of a mark, if you're very specific. And sometimes I am. When you try one of these things, this is a 4 and this is a 4.25, and if I have the choice between the two later, I want the 4.25, right? So it then leaves any of you who follow us, I've gotten some comments on this, any of you who follow us at Tall Can Audio on Twitter have noticed that you can share some of these beer tweets on Twitter, which I have done more than a couple of times. And so there's 140 underneath the star rating spot. There's a spot to write 140 character review. And what's kind of cool, it's probably not great news if you give a beer a bad review, but if you give a good review, or any review, and the app has the company's Twitter handle on file, it will tag them in your tweet as you're writing it in the application. So you write down a couple thoughts on it. Really enjoying this one, or it's kind of dull, or this one has a little more punch than I like, or whatever your comment might be. You add it to your star rating so you remember why you liked it or why you didn't like it. And so let's say I'm drinking, you know, a Guinness, and you don't know if you've never had a Guinness, and you've always assumed because of how dark it is that you're not going to like it, which is one of the biggest misconceptions. Guinness doesn't have a really strong, really bitter taste. People just assume that because of the color of it. So I say something in my comment like, real smooth, you know, not as bitter as it looks. Well, for someone who knows that they like a similar beer to me most of the time, but they're not sure if they're going to like Guinness, I've just told them when they've seen this that it's not as bitter as it seems. And so maybe that's more willing, maybe it makes them more willing to give it a chance, right? One of the other things that happens is, let's say I know when I read your beer reviews that you like something a little stronger than I do, and you've said this is a little strong for me, I know already not to try it, right? If it was too strong for you, it's definitely too strong for me. So little things like that, when you start to build this community and have friends on the application with you, certainly makes it more useful, right? You can go through, you take pictures of it so people can know what they're looking for. I know that sounds a little vain, like what would be the point, but if you are in an LCBO or a beer store or whatever the case may be where you buy alcohol where you're from, there's a million cans and bottles around, and if you kind of have this idea already, you've seen what the can looks like, you've seen what the bottle looks like, you know what to go and look for. If it's a pint, you can see that's too dark for me, right? I'm not going to enjoy that, whatever it might be, right? There's different ways of being able to use it and make the photo useful. You can tag if the venue that you're drinking at, if that venue is involved in the application, you can tag them. You can follow venues and then they'll give you notifications when some of your favorite beers are becoming available there. So that's kind of cool. So it's really, I mean, it's probably the official application of the alcoholic, but it's kind of handy. It's fun if you have kind of a community thing going, but at the same time, it does allow you, if you've been away for a week or two and you've tried a few different things, to look when you get back and go, I remember like 4 different names of beers I tried, and I don't remember which ones I liked and which I didn't. Well, now you can kind of refer back to it, right? Which is really handy. And I've done that a few times here so far this week while I've been away. And I want to give you a couple beers to try here. So I wanted to give you a couple of recommendations. Like I said, I've spent the week away, And my old man and I made a point to go out and grab a bunch of craft beers, things we'd never tried before, get into the LCBO, which for those of you who are listening outside of Ontario, is where you buy beer and liquor here in Ontario. It stands for the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Obviously, here in Canada, beer and alcohol is sold by the government. Good way to keep us all in line. If you decide you're not going to listen to the government, maybe they'll take away your booze kind of thing, right? So, but it's really a way that they kind of keep things in check, or at least that's the way they sell it. So the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. So we went into a bunch of places, tried a bunch of different things. We've, over the last, I don't know, week or so, probably tried 10 to 12 different beers from probably 8 different breweries. Some were fantastic. Some were absolutely terrible. I'm not going to spend any time here. I don't want to go through every single one of them because you probably don't care. Some of them, especially the bad ones, aren't worth mentioning here. So two, though, especially that I do want to point out. If you're into a stout, and not just a stout, but a really kind of thick, really bitter, kind of hoppy, well, bitter anyway, kind of stout, I really recommend from the Railway City Brewery. It's called, I had this written down, where is it? It is called the Black Coal Stout. And it is aptly named. It is a dark beer, and it has a kick to it. I really enjoyed it. The Railway City Brewing Company is in St. Thomas, Ontario. For those of you who don't know, that's just outside of London, Ontario. I had never tried anything from their brewery before. This is now the only one I've tried from their brewery. I'd be interested in going back. But once you've tried something that you really like, it's hard to go to a place where it's available and not order the one that you really liked, right? So that was available at the LCBO. I assume that's going to be the case across the province, or at least in some of the bigger ones. I can't speak for what it's going to be like outside of Ontario trying to find it. But if you see a place, you see a chance to grab a Black Coal Stout by the Railway City Brewing Company, highly, highly recommend it. The other one here, it is from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company. And they're slightly bigger, certainly bigger than the Railway City Brewing Company. They are more widely available across the LCBO. And I just like the name, the Lake of Bays, right? It sounds very nice. It sounds very cottagey, very summery. This was the Midnight Bock. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a bock. It's a little thicker. It's not too strong, right? It's certainly not overpowering. If you're really not into something strong, then this might be a better stop for you than the one from the Railway City Brewing Company. Really, really nice. My dad isn't quite as much into the really kind of strong stouts. He's just kind of getting into it. He's just getting into the Guinness now. You know, I'm doing my best to educate him here and get him caught up. And he's come a long, long way. So he's doing well. But he really enjoyed this one as well. And it's the Midnight Bock from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company. So if you're looking for a couple of, especially for those of you here in Ontario, a couple of local breweries to support, especially if you're into something a little darker, I would absolutely recommend those two. Again, that's the Midnight Bock from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company and the Black Coal Stout from the Railway City Brewing Company. No Unforced Errors podcast would be complete without a little bit of Leafs talk. Over the weekend, Toronto played the Blackhawks, lost in overtime, and it was a little disappointing. I mean, anytime you can take a point off the Blackhawks, I had this, for those of you who listened to the episode of Talk and Sports, we went over a 10-game stretch for the Leafs and what was coming. I had this as a loss. And it was a loss, but they lost in overtime. So you get a point out of that. And that's really big. And so far, in these 6 games that I predicted, excuse me, in the 6 games in the 10-game stretch that I drew predictions on, they have 9 of 12 points. So they're actually 1 point ahead of the pace that I said they had to set. I said they would lose to Carolina. They beat Carolina. I said they would beat Florida. And whoo boy, did they lose to Florida. They got absolutely wrecked. Not one guy on the team looked like he was ready to rock in that game. So they were taught a big-time lesson there. Managed to turn it around and get a big, big 5-0 win in Tampa to kind of hold them back. And at the time, actually, Toronto leapfrogged Tampa with that win. And since then, Toronto has, like I said, collected another point on a loss from Chicago. Tampa lost in regulation on Saturday, and the Islanders lost in overtime, so they also claimed a point but remained behind Toronto. At this point, what that means is the Leafs have 12 games to go. More importantly, have two games in hand on Boston, who they sit 3 points behind, and they play Boston on Monday. That game will determine once and for all whether the Leafs are still in this race to grab a division spot. If they can beat Boston and move to 1 point behind them, still with two games in hand, the Leafs are still in that race. If they lose to Boston, that puts Boston 5 points up, and it doesn't... I mean, it's not mathematically impossible that the Leafs would catch Boston, but it kind of is. It's hockey impossible, right? With 11 games left at that point, that would be done. And Toronto would be singularly in the race for that second wild card spot. So that's kind of what they're looking at here with 12 games to go. And most people seem to think it's going to take 93 points to get in. And if that's going to be the case, the Leafs need to go 7-5. Now, you could go less than that, try and chalk up some more of those famous overtime and shootout losses that the Leafs are so famous for. But 7-5 gets you to 93 points. You have another game with Tampa in there, in which you're going to let Tampa get right back into it with you, or you can kind of put them permanently behind you. You have a game with New Jersey in there. You have a game with Buffalo in there. Those two are must-have games if you're going to get this done. And so it's doable. It's doable. And they hold a spot right now. The Islanders, I wouldn't say they've cooled, but they're not as hot as they were. Boston seems to, again, cooled is too strong because it's not like they're playing poorly. But a couple of these teams that the Leafs were in a battle with were just red hot. And you can look back at that California trip for Toronto, go 1 out of 6 points, not good enough. If you had gotten even 3 out of 6 points, which is a tall order, I get that. But your position looks very different right now. Right? If you could have won one game and lost one in overtime, you'd be sitting pretty right now. And the only reason I bring it up is that they had the chance to do it. They had leads in those games, right? They had chances to get it done and just couldn't. So, you know, it's been an interesting week. You win a game in Carolina that I said they'd lose only because of the heat of the race, and now you go in on a Saturday night to a dead building in Carolina where there's no, you know, nothing for them to lose. You've just played divisional rivals. You've played teams in the race. It seemed like an easy trap game. To their credit, they came out and won that. Got absolutely blasted in Florida and then had a big win in Tampa and grabbed a point in an interesting game against Chicago. There's a lot of people saying, you know, what if this Toronto team is what Chicago was in 2009? Man, tough to say that with what Chicago became, but I get the point, right? Is it's the beginning of something. And I think most Leaf fans hope it is, but we don't know that yet. But they showed at times in that game that they could skate with. The scoring chances were almost equal over the course of the game. The Hawks outshot Toronto, but in terms of high-danger scoring chances, pretty even. Leafs had a couple chances to win it in overtime. JVR on a breakaway, and he just couldn't cash, right? So they skated with them. They stayed with them. And you know what? It's an honest loss. So you lost to a better team, but you managed to get a point out of it. It's going to be big. That really is. It's big for this team if they're going to stay in it. The game against Boston, like I said, will determine on Monday whether or not they're still in the division race or whether it's solely now for the wild card. I think you'd much prefer to stay in that division race, try and get a chance to play Ottawa or Montreal. Quite frankly, Ottawa's been hot. I don't know if you really want any part of them. I don't think you want to forfeit that thing that you've had since 1999 where you've been able to say, yeah, but you've never beat us in the playoffs. It would suck if that goes away. That's really the only thing Leaf fans still have over the Sens fans. But I don't want to play Washington. At least as far as the numbers would suggest. I've read a couple of things that said maybe that isn't the... I mean, it's certainly not what you want when you have a choice between them or Ottawa or Montreal. But I do want to play Washington before I want to play Pittsburgh if I'm going to be stuck in that wild card game. Pittsburgh is locked and loaded. They are playoff proven. And Washington, every now and then in the playoffs, for some reason, just seems to find a way to choke. I still think Washington is getting it done against Toronto. Don't get me wrong. If you ask me to bet some money on that, I'm taking Washington. But if I have to play one of the two, I don't think it's crazy to say you would prefer to play Washington over Pittsburgh, even though Washington's going to end up having more points than Pittsburgh when all is said and done here. So that'll kind of all get determined on Monday, at least in my opinion. Where does Toronto stand in this race, and what are they really still playing for? If they can get a win out of Boston, and it's funny, you've said this like six or seven times here in the last 2 weeks. It's the biggest game of the season. Tampa was, and now this one is. So, two more quick statistical things here before we move off of this, just because they're from games I've referenced here. I just finished talking about Washington and what the Leafs, you know, may end up having to do if they're staring that down. Currently, TJ Oshie, at time of recording, leads the Capitals in scoring. Think of how long it's been since you would have assumed that anyone but Alex Ovechkin was leading that team in scoring. Because I can tell you who the last guy was who finished a season leading the Caps in scoring. And we may still see Ovechkin, right, come back and grab that, right? But TJ Oshie's had a very good year. And I wouldn't certainly say Ovechkin's had a bad year. I laughed the other day seeing that someone said Ovechkin had been moved down to the second line with Kuznetsov. And in my head, I go, nope. The Ovechkin line is the number one line. I'm not necessarily saying Kuznetsov got moved up either, but if you can say Ovechkin got moved down, but all it really means is you changed from having one first line to a different one, because the Ovechkin line is the first line. Currently, TJ Oshie leads them in scoring. The last guy to finish a season, because Oshie hasn't done that yet, he hasn't finished the season with more goals than Ovechkin. The last Capital that led that team in goal scoring that wasn't named Alex Ovechkin was Robert Lang. Remember that guy? Had some good years in the 90s there with Pittsburgh. I think spent some time with the Rangers. But Robert Lang, a Czech, pretty good player. But that was the last guy who led the Capitals in scoring who wasn't named Alex Ovechkin. I thought that was kind of fun, and it shows just how long it's been since anyone but him led that team in scoring. The other statistic coming out of this week that I found amusing, the Maple Leafs win 5-0 in Tampa Bay. Who do you think the last goaltender was who pitched a shutout in Tampa for Toronto? Go back. Go back a decade. Go back almost two decades. It was 1999. Curtis Joseph. That's how long it's been since a Leaf goalie has pitched a shutout in Tampa Bay. And it's not like one of those, well, Ottawa hasn't won in San Jose since 2003. And you go, wow, that's a long time. And you go, yeah, maybe Ottawa has only been there like four times. And I mean, it still sucks, right? But you remember before this most recent version of alignment, which has its own crazy problems and whatever, but this new version of the schedule makes sure you go somewhere every single year. Every team will visit every city at least once in an NHL season. It wasn't always like that. You used to only visit the Western divisions, if you're an Eastern team, once every 3 years. You would go to the Pacific Division once, you'd go to the Northwest once, and you'd go to the Central once. Like a season. I've done a terrible job of explaining that. You would go to the Pacific in 2005, you would go to the Central in 2006, and you would go to the Northwest in 2007. So it doesn't take long. You lose two games, 6 years have gone by, and now it seems like a terrible stat when someone says you haven't won there since 2010. Well, maybe it's only two games. Anyway, it's misleading. But this isn't like that. Toronto goes to Tampa every year, several times a year, especially now that they're in the same division. They haven't had a shutout there since 1999, Curtis Joseph. I know what you're thinking. With the stellar Leaf goaltending that they've had since then, it's unbelievable that Vesa Toskala did not get a shutout, that J.S. Aubin did not get a shutout in Tampa Bay, that Andrew Raycroft could not get a shutout in Tampa Bay. Those stellar goaltenders that the Leafs have been trotting out there, how does Jonathan Bernier not have several shutouts in Tampa Bay as a Leaf? Yeah, it didn't happen. So, just a couple of fun numbers that I saw this week. I like to kind of jot them down when I see them on Twitter or save them or whatever, because to me, that stuff's kind of fun, right? It's not a big deal. It's not earth-shattering, but it's just kind of fun. I like seeing kind of those sorts of statistics and being able to share them with you on the high-quality show like here on the Unforced Errors podcast. Most teams have about 10 to 12 games left. We are coming down the wire. It's going to be interesting times here, man, right up to the end. And people are going to be happy. There doesn't seem to be people who don't care about the Leafs. People hate the Leafs, so they love the Leafs. One group's going to be thrilled with how this goes, and one group's going to be pretty pissed off. And that's just kind of how it works right now. A couple of things coming up this week. Like I said, make sure you check out Audio Whiplash 63 that was posted last week. I think you're really going to enjoy that. I will be back in studio with Rob Christie this week. Hopefully with the third guest. No promises, but we're trying to bring someone in who can speak at least from a different perspective on what's going on with Team USA and their women's hockey team. That the current national team members have said they're boycotting the Women's World Hockey Championships, which they are hosting. It's a very big situation. A lot of opinions. It's very volatile. A lot of moving parts to that. And we would like to bring in someone extra, if we can, to talk about that. So that'll be on Tall Can Sports this week. It might just be Rob and I, but we have a couple irons in the fire there that we're working on putting together for you. There'll also be an all-new Audio Whiplash. Until then, enjoy your week. Enjoy your trips back to work if you were off for March break. More importantly, enjoy having your kids back out of the house and back in school. That's Unforced Errors, and we'll see you down the road.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.